Mary Olds, Australia correspondent with us. Hey, Maz.
Afternoon to you, Heather. Good afternoon.
Fair enough, right? Albo reckons Optus should pay for the new passports. Is anybody saying that that isn't how it should work?
I think Optus was looking for maybe some sort of taxpayer assistance here because this shambles rolls on. No one's been held accountable at this point. Optus, as we know, you know, up to 10 million, maybe, you know, some more personal accounts and details have been basically hijacked. How did this happen? We're not sure. There's an inquiry underway, of course. Was it slack security by Optus? That's what it's looking more increasingly like. So in the meantime, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of people who have to go and get new passports. What a pain in the bum. We've all done that. It's dreadful. How did I have getting a driver's license? So who's going to pay for it? The federal government says, guess what, Optus, you're paying for it. Singtel in Singapore owns the company. You're going to pay for the passports. Now, you know, there's a bunch of other knock-on implications as well. It's not confined to passports and driver's licences. The health minister over here, Mark Butler, he's looking at rolling out new Medicare numbers for millions and millions of people, and talks are now underway for the banks to increase monitoring of bank accounts of those affected to look for any suspicious activity. Talk about a shambles, and talk about a wake-up call, Heather, for basic personal security data protection. And it's got to be incumbent on everybody at our level, but also the corporate level.
Too right. So if there are millions of people caught up in this and a passport costs 300 and whatever Australian dollars to replace, it could be potentially tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, couldn't it?
For sure. That's right.
Yeah.
But look, Singtel's got plenty of dough. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to cry any tears for Optus. And if it comes back to the fact that they were just not, you know, the company wasn't as diligent as it should have been in terms of protecting personal data, kick them in the bum even harder for mine.
Yeah, it was a lesson that everybody else will be learning as well.
Absolutely.
So Queensland's not given itself much time. What is it, 13 years to get rid of coal-fired power altogether?
Which is a pretty bold call by a premier who was increasingly under pressure. She's been there for a bit and looking ahead at the next election. And she's outlined this ambitious plan. As you say, by 2035, Queensland wants to have 80% of its energy needs supplied by renewables. That's a big call because Queensland, as you know, is built on coal. Energy experts are saying that the plan is, quote, very ambitious, which is a bit like those yes ministers, very courageous minister, especially, you know, coming off a very low base, because Queensland, as I say, endless coal supplies. They've lagged behind other states up in Queensland in terms of developing and rolling out renewables. But Pelletier says the Queensland, the state of Queensland is going to be transformed, they're going to become an energy powerhouse. Part of that's going to involve the creation of a big, brand new electricity distribution grid. Plus, they're going to have the world's biggest hydro system. So if all this comes to pass in 13 years, I think it'll be a pretty momentous achievement.
Maz, this is just nonsense, isn't it? I mean, 65% of the state's electricity comes from coal. They can't possibly phase that out in 13 years. It's impossible.
Well, it looks, look, I'm not an expert here, Heather, but you just look, hang on, who's saying this? Premier Pelletier. Well, you know, I think a lot of people are, you know, anything the Premier of Queensland says, you've got to look through a political prism.
Yeah.
As I say, you know, she's under a bit of pressure and the election's not that far away.
Well, she's not going to be answering questions about it in 2035, so she can say things like this, I suppose. Maz, I'll tell you what, it is upsetting. That audio of that footballer being carjacked or the attempted carjack is very upsetting. But to find out it's a 14-year-old, that's even more upsetting.
Well, he's the only one charged at this point, and police are saying other charges may be laid, but the audio of Alicia Canavis is absolutely chilling. I mean, you hear that on horror movies, you know, late-night horror movies, but this was real. She's in a car. These little ratbags around the car trying to get in. One of them whips out a knife, so she says, flight or fight, and away she went. And it's pretty chilling. If you're the presenter on the other end, I've got goosebumps thinking of it now. I mean, that was absolutely terrifying. So the 14-year-old boy, Heather, charged with three counts armed robbery, two counts of unlawful use of a motor vehicle, burglary and attempted robbery, and, you know, the ongoing trauma for the female footballer. She says it's going to be a long time before she feels anywhere near comfy being in a car alone again.
Yeah, too right. Maz, thank you for that. Murray Olds,
thanks,
Australia correspondent.